You're listening to Stock Car Radio. For more of your favorite programs, visit us on the web at ernlive.com. That's ernlive.com.
I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never going to beat me down. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never going to beat me down.
You're listening to Stock Car Radio. I'm Alan Taylor. Show brought to you in part by Bridgestone, and they're passionate about making tires you can count on to perform when it matters most. Bridgestone Tires. And I will be at the Indy 500, of course, Firestone, the official tire there. Steve, have you decided if you're going yet or not?
I will be at the Indy 500.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
going there with Chevrolet, so cool.
Awesome, dude. Yeah, we'll have to make sure we get together and do some radio, of course.
Absolutely.
So, motorsport.com, you're the editor-in-chief. What's your recent column? Let's get back to talking NASCAR.
Well, it's, you know, even a week later, people are still talking about the Talladega race last week. And people always talk about Talladega because it's such a weird track. Restrictor play track, you race in packs. The cars are cut down to under 500 horsepower so they don't, you know, fly up into the stands. So it's really a mess. And the way they've got the rules now, it was so tough to pass this last week that, you know, normally at Talladega there's a couple of lines, and if you get in line, you can come like a freight train and pass another bunch of cars. But, man, they were racing three and four wide. It was almost like a short track race on a super speedway. And the most interesting thing that happened, other than Denny Hamlin's win, which happened under a yellow flag, unfortunately, I think was the fact that Dale Earnhardt was leading for a while, ran really well, but finished 26th. And then after the race, he said, I was hanging back because I didn't think I could win. I didn't think I could get up front. I was here before I got a bad crash. It put me out with a concussion for a couple of races. I like this car. I don't want to wreck it. So I just hung back and stayed out of the mess up there. And sure enough, you know, he predicted on the radio that there was going to be a big crash with 10 laps to go, and he was off by three laps. It was 13 laps to go, and then there was still another crash at the checkered flag. So he turned out he was right, but a lot of people criticized him because NASCAR said at one time that you're supposed to run 100%, and if you're hanging back and not giving 100%, are you, you know, what's the deal? And I've got a column up on motorsport.com that I likened it to 1969 when Talladega opened. It was a very abrasive surface. The Firestone and Goodyear tire companies really didn't know what to do, and the tires they brought were not holding up very well. In fact, Richard Petty, just during his qualifying, shredded three of the four tires on his car. So there was a boycott. They had a Professional Drivers Association back then, and almost all the big drivers, led by Petty, you know, the Allisons didn't race, some of the other guys, Bobby Isaac, two or three other guys who were sort of outsiders ended up racing, but they ended up winning. The race winner was Richard Brickhouse, who, of course, is the answer to a trivia question. You know, why did Richard Brickhouse win, and he only won the one race? Because he was the second-tier driver, and a lot of the second-tier drivers, one of them, including Richard Childress, you know, decided to go ahead and take their shot and race any car. I mean, they were racing smaller cars than the big cars. Bill France Sr. basically just wanted to put anything out there on the track because all the other top guys left. Well, that, in a way, Junior sort of boycotted Talladega, and the fact that he said, this is too dangerous. I don't want to play. I'm not enjoying this. I'm not going to be up there. I'm not going to take a chance to go from 26th to maybe 19th and get involved in a big crash. It's just not worth it. I mean, he's already in the chase because of this new points format. You don't really have to worry about points like you used to. If you've got a win, you're in the chase. Junior's already got a win. He got it to Daytona 500.
Right.
He could get another one, and he's up in the points. So, you know, NASCAR is kind of being hoisted by its own petard. They wanted everybody to concentrate on a win instead of racing for points, and they've got that. But if you've already got a win, you can afford to back off a little bit. Unless you're Brad Keselowski, that's the other big story. Brad was six laps down, running up there with the leaders, for some reason trying to get one lap back near the end of the race, and spun out and took out a bunch of cars. So people are complaining about Dale Jr. not being aggressive enough. They're complaining about Brad Keselowski being too aggressive. I guess the happy medium is somewhere in the middle, but it turned out to be a pretty interesting race, if not just for what happened at the checkered flag, but for what happened politically between those two guys and everybody else running.
I'm looking at NBCSports.com, by the way, and There was one little thing that happened at Talladega. It says here, three of the remaining founding members of NASCAR's legendary Alabama gang are not only a group of winners and champions, they're also very wise men. Last weekend at Talladega, they dispensed some very wise advice to today's drivers. Slow down and appreciate and reevaluate the relationship you have with your fans. And it says here, Alabama gang founders to today's NASCAR stars. Fans pay your salaries. Don't forget them. Whew, for these old dudes to be talking to these younger group of guys like that, I got to tell you, man, NASCAR's got its issues right now.
They do, and that's one of the things that you and I have talked about when we've talked about NHRA.
Right.
You know, the drag racers, and you know, the NHRA advertises every ticket is a pit pass. Every ticket gets you in to see the cars up close and talk to the drivers. And, you know, I've said this before, when Kurt Busch came over and raced Pro Stock that one weekend in Gainesville, I asked him what he learned, and he said, I learned what a series can do for the fans. And that's something I'm taking back to NASCAR. Of course, he can't do much about it, but, you know, a series gets bigger and bigger. Eventually, your Formula One, where some of the top Formula One drivers won't even talk to a journalist unless you're getting paid for it.
Well, exactly.
I hope NASCAR never gets that way, but that's the way it is at the very top.
Well, you know, and sadly, somebody asked me the other day, they said, boy, you're so lucky you get to go all those races and talk to all those guys. I said, talk to all those guys? They don't all talk to you. I mean, you, like you said, I mean, of course, they'll talk to the editor-in-chief of motorsport.com.
Oh,
but,
who does?
Yeah, who doesn't? But, you know, getting access to these guys is not as easy as people think. And not always do they have really great attitudes. But talking about a really great attitude, coming up next, we're going to talk with Kenny Wallace, who is one of the guys that is accessible, has a great attitude. Everyone loves him, and there's a reason for that. And we're going to find out and explore that. And then Steve and I will be back right on the other side of that. Steve, I'm going to do this interview alone because I only have one incoming call, so I'll talk to you on the other side and we'll talk about it, all right?
I'll wait for you.
All right, it is Stock Car Radio. Coming up next, Kenny Wallace. Stay with us. You're listening to Stock Car Radio, presented by Brembo, the choice of champions.